most of the time, which most of you have, different ways to look at the gospel. So tonight, there's another way that the gospel is described for us in the New Testament. We're going to talk about that. But I'm going to start out with reading some famous people's quotes. I joked last week with Jim. I was telling Steve before class, the lessons don't have tons of material in them, kind of like Cody was this past Sunday morning. He's like, I've got to go digging deep for gold, three verses to pull from. I got more than three verses, but I told Jim if I have to read anything from here, and I joked with Steve, I read faster than Steve, so we might get done even earlier than Steve did last week. No offense to Steve's reading, but French philosopher Jean-Paul Sartre. Anybody in here ever heard of him? Of course. Carol knows who he is. Every existing thing is born without reason, prolongs itself out of weakness, and dies by chance. Sir James Jeans. Do you know him too? Sir James Jeans. Life may be a disease which attacks planets in their decay. Bertrand Russell. That one sounds more familiar to me. This one's a little longer. Man is the product of causes which had no provision of the end they were achieving. His origin, his growth, his hopes and fears, his loves and his beliefs are but the outcome of accidental collocations of atoms. No fire, no heroism, no intensity of thought and feeling can preserve an individual life beyond the grave. And the whole temple of man's achievements must inevitably be buried beneath the debris of a universe in ruin. That's a long one. Clarence Darrow. I know more people have heard of Clarence. Life is an unpleasant interruption of nothing, and the best thing that can be said of it is that it does not last long. Are those very encouraging quotes? Not really. Doesn't leave much to live for, does it? We're really just here, and when we die, it's over. John 11, 25 and 26. Cody, if you don't mind. John 11, 25 and 26. A little different reading here from the three gentlemen we just talked about. Okay, and then also John 14, 19 talks about Jesus saying, yet a little while and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. Quite a contrast between what Jesus is saying about something beyond death than what philosophical, worldly educated, non-God believing people want us to believe about why we're here. And I think it's interesting, and the contrast there, you know, is one of those things that if we didn't have the gospel and we didn't have our Christian faith and we didn't have hope, what would life be like? Chaos. So what we're talking about tonight is the hope of the gospel. Last week, Steve talked about the peace and the peace that comes from that or from being a Christian and the things that the gospel does for us as Christians. Tonight, we're going to talk about the hope. In Colossians, a lot of our texts will come from Colossians tonight. Paul was talking to them, and the Colossians had come from, they were Christians, but they had come from the teaching of nothing to do with the one God. Basically, it was a physical religion. It was all about self-gratification, all physical, no spiritual, and nothing afterwards. Colossians 1, 19 through 23. Steve, if you'd read that for us. Colossians 1, 19 through 23. Okay. Talks about the hope of the gospel and how they had been converted. They once were alienated from God, but now they're part of the family. Colossians 1, go back to the same chapter, verse 5. Jason, can you read that? Verse 5 of the same chapter in Colossians 1. Okay, the hope that's laid up for them in heaven. And then verse 27. Go ahead and read that. So you got hope in Christ, hope of heaven, hope of the gospel. Three different times in this same chapter, he references the hope that they now have because they're Christians, and as opposed to where they were. So I think it's important that obviously part of being a Christian, the hope that comes from that, and we're going to talk about three different aspects of hope in a minute, but think about the religion that they were. These people didn't believe in the resurrection or the incarnation. The body was a fleshly, evil tool for everything that they did before they were converted. And in thinking that about the body, what does that do to the religion or the faith that we have? Because if the body was nothing but evil, fleshly evil, then that discounts the fact that Christ became flesh, right? Because if Christ became flesh and the body is, the flesh is just an evil, what do you call it? An evil something, substance. It's the wrong word. It's escaping me. But Christ couldn't have been who he was because he became flesh. And if he was flesh, he wouldn't have been sinless because he would have been just like everybody else. So it discounted the fact that Christ had even come and had they not believed and the hope that came from that. So it would have voided out the fact that Christ came, he was crucified, buried, and rose again. So that would have left, if that was true, then there wouldn't be any hope in Christ. So there's a lesson there for us as well. We still have the same risk today. How many of our people in society who used to have faith, who were Christians, have fallen prey to the philosophies of the world? We have so many people today trying to tear down what we believe in and what we do and who we are and the faith that we have, and they present it in such a educated way. Sounds like they know what they're talking about. They put facts around it that they make up, or they come up with some scientific way to measure something and the age of it, and it sounds so credible. And then they repeat it over and over and over from the time our kids are this big to the time they graduate college, that if we're not careful and if we're not grounded in our faith, the hope that comes from that gets weak. Next thing you know, it's not really important. And then we wake up in our middle age years and we don't have faith anymore. We're just living a material life in pursuit of material things and expecting to die at some point without the hope. And that's not a good place to be. So not only is hope an essential part of our faith, but hope is an essential part of healthy living, physically, right? Let me give you some statistics that kind of make you understand why if we don't have hope on this earth, we can end up in a bad place. Depending on what you read, whose statistics, suicide is usually always in the top 10. It's 8th, it's 10th, but one of the highest causes of death in our society. It's third among teenagers, which follows closely behind drunk driving, which is number one. Murder's number two. Think about that. Murder is the number two cause of death in our young people. In the 80s, in the decade of the 80s, suicide increased 25% among people over 65. What happens as we age? What things change in life as we get older? We've got some people in here that are over 65. What happens to your life when you cross over that 65 barrier if you don't have something to live for? I talked to my mom twice a day. Every morning driving to work, every evening driving home from work. She's 70, born in 41. So how old is she? 70, she turned 76, I think. She'd be mad if I told you that. But it's not uncommon. It seems like 3 out of 5 days a week, she almost sounds, she's depressed, right? She tries to stay busy. She has a stronger faith than probably anybody I know. But she's at a point in her life where she's tired. She can't do the things she used to do. So she gets depressed. And she gets lonely, and she gets bored, and she wants to do more, and she can't do more than, she can't do what she used to. And I don't know how to fix that other than to remind her that where she's at now doesn't matter. She's almost home. She's almost with my dad, right, who's already at home. So when you think about what happens as we age, if we don't have something to keep us, if we don't have faith and we don't have hope in what's beyond this, then we don't have much to live for. So what are some of the things in life, regardless of age, that cause us to feel hopeless on this earth if we don't have our faith? What things happen? Floyd? Sure. So Floyd said, if you couldn't hear him, the further we get away from the Word, the more likely we are to let the things of the world become what influence who we are, how we act, what drives us to do the things we do. Disappointments. Jeff, you were going to say something? Yeah. Health. Yeah, our health starts slipping. Lack of purpose. I'll get to that in a minute. That word's important. We'll come to it. Yes, ma'am. Loss of a spouse. Exactly. Or a child. I have a coworker who a week and a half ago lost his second child. He's probably my coworker's in his 40s. He had a 21-year-old die in a car wreck 6 years ago. One of his boys. His second boy, 23 years old, died last week. He now has no more kids. Both his boys, about to enter the peak of their life, are gone. And it's devastating. So things happen in our lives that disappointments, sickness, depression, finances. Anybody in here ever had any finance problems? I have. That is a heavy weight. Jim, you've had finance problems? No, go ahead. Yeah. Bobby Moore. Lost his uncle a week ago, and less than a week later, his aunt, the uncle's wife, passes away. That's devastating on a family. So you're right. Things happen in bunches. What's the famous thing? Bad things always happen in threes. I mean, I've heard that my whole life. Statistics say you will go first. this is not a statistics class. But the odds are in her favor. But I understand your point. Companionship helps you get through a lot of things, for sure. Robert? Right, they are. And if you went back to one of the things you said was, God must have another purpose for me because I'm still here, right? You've seen T-shirts and things, God's not finished with me yet. God's not finished with any of us yet. We're still here. And when you look at being a Christian, one of the best things about being a Christian is it automatically gives us all a purpose for being here, which is back to what you were saying a while ago. You got to have purpose. You got to have a sense of purpose for being here. As Christians, no matter where we are and what stage of our life, if you are a Christian, you have a purpose. Because the purpose is what as a Christian? Seek and save the lost. To share your faith, right? That's our purpose. We can get all wrapped around the axle of all the physical things we're doing, and I got a job, and I got a career, and I got all these things to do. But those things, without faith, and the faith, the purpose that comes with our faith, become things that eventually will bring you down. The faith and the hope that comes from us being a Christian gives us a purpose for being here, and that purpose is to share with others the hope that comes from our faith. Right, Robert? David, real quick. That's exactly right. So David said, even if we're wrong, the world's better for us being how we are because of what we believe. Which we're not wrong, by the way. Just want to make sure they're clear. It's our responsibility to help find those people too. So 1 Corinthians 15:19 says, if in this life only, so if only in this life, we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. So if all we have to live for if the only hope we have is on this earth, then what's he say? Right. Right. If there was nothing, if our hope in Christ was only here while we live, and then after we die, there is nothing else. Eat, drink, and be merry, Cody says. So now we know where his head would be, right? But why not, right? Then it's all about me at that point, because if I know I've only got so much time, and after this life it doesn't really matter, everybody's going to end up in the same cold ground and become nothing, and there's nothing after that, then we might as well enjoy it. So the point is, there's something far greater and far more beyond the life we're living here. And so if you couldn't hear Emmett, he was a late bloomer from a Christian's perspective in his 50s. But from that point forward, his whole perspective on life is different. All the troubles of the world, no matter what happens, it's not really that important. If it kills us, God bless us, because we're where we're supposed to be. It gets us there quicker, right? Not that I'm in a hurry, but hey, if it happens, that's great, because the reward and what's after this world is so much better, and that's the hope that we have. So we're going slower than I thought, but that's okay. So hope is threefold, the hope of the gospel, threefold. First of all, one of the hopes that we have in the gospel is the returning of Christ for us. The hope is that he's coming back. John 14, 2 and 3. Can you get that, John? John 14, 2 and 3. What did Jesus tell him? Right. So Christ told his disciples that he's going to prepare a place for us, and then he's coming back. So one of the hopes of the resurrection, obviously, is the return of Christ to come get us and bring us home. And that kind of hope is greater than any kind of hope you can have on this earth. I joke with people at work, and anybody who's ever led a sales organization, if you ask them if they're going to hit their sales goal, and their response is, I hope so, what's the response that is very common for that? Do what? I always tell them, hope is not a strategy. Hope requires divine intervention. As Christians, the hope that we have has divine intervention. And it's Christ coming back for us. And that's the kind of hope that you can count on. And it's exciting to be a Christian and know that no matter what happens, Christ has made it a promise to us that he's coming back. Acts 1, verse 11. Jim, Acts 1, 11, if you don't mind. Who's talking here? The angels, right, talking to the disciples after Christ has just ascended. And he's like, what are y'all looking at? Why are you standing there gazing? He's gone now, but he's coming back. And he'd already told them that earlier. And they're about to go tell everybody about that. So One of the hopes of the gospel is the fact that Christ is coming back. Second hope, that there will be a resurrection. Materialism, which we live in today, whatever form it is a philosophy or a religion basically that says death is the end of everything. Once you die, you're dead. There's some religions that believe in reincarnation, right, which that's not a resurrection. The Bible's clear with us that there's going to be a resurrection. Acts 4, 1 through 4. Robert, Acts 4, 1 through 4. The disciples went around preaching the resurrection all the time. Peter and John here, illustrated here. And they got thrown in jail for it. They were preaching to people who didn't believe in the resurrection. But here's the hope that comes for us. Go ahead. Okay, so they're preaching the resurrection. They're getting thrown in jail. Paul in Acts 23, verse 6, he's arrested, charged with preaching the same thing with, about the hope of the resurrection. He says, of the hope and resurrection of the dead, I am called into question. He was being challenged on his on what he was preaching, and he was thrown in jail for it. He was thrown in jail for a lot of things. But in the religious world, what's the most common day of the year that usually you'll hear a sermon on the resurrection? Easter, right? Outside of Easter, there's not a lot of preaching that goes on about it as compared to all the other topics that get preached on. But they went around preaching that because that's part of the hope of the gospel, right? It's something that we should talk about more. We should preach on more. It's not just a holiday once a year. It's something that's a critical component of the three-legged stool when you took a look at the three hopes of the gospel. It's Christ coming back. The second one is the resurrection. And then third, Colossians 1, 3 through 5. Cody? We read a little bit of this earlier, this verse, but we're going to say it again. Third hope of the gospel. The hope that's laid up for us in heaven. That's the third hope. Christ coming back, the resurrection, and then obviously the hope of heaven at the end. We live in a world that doesn't really believe in that in most of the world. I don't know how we would get through life without knowing that there's something beyond life. So the third hope, which is heaven, to me is probably, we probably rate that one higher than the other two. The other two are going to happen, but the third one, having the hope of that awaits us, having heaven as our goal, is the ultimate prize at the end. So, hope requiring divine intervention or spiritual intervention, we still have to do our own part, don't we? This is where y'all answer the question. It doesn't just automatically get delivered to us, right? Everyone in here probably, looking around, probably everyone in here is a Christian. So we have all done what was required of us to have access to that hope. Does that hope stay with us forever, regardless? We do have to work at it, right? He was preaching earlier to the Christians in Colossae. I mean, you had people who were falling away, right? As we talked about in the beginning, the contrasting barrage of things that we get hit with on a regular basis are trying to tear our faith down. And as our faith gets weak, we gradually slip away. I don't know of anybody who woke up on a Sunday morning and just said, my faith is gone. I'm not going to church today. It's over. It's typically something that gradually happens over time. And then when you do wake up, you're not awake, right? You're just somebody totally different. The hope that you had, the hope that you had gained access to by obeying the gospel and doing what God asks us to do, starts slipping away. And you start not worshiping, you miss, your attendance is gone, you don't participate in things, you start socializing outside more than you do with fellow Christians, and the influences start building up, and your priorities in life become secular rather than spiritual. And before you know it, you're kind of going through the motions, but your faith is getting weaker and weaker. And that hope that you had can slip away. And it's important that we recognize that that can happen. Ozzie, you were going to say something? Sure. So if you couldn't hear everything she said, basically she's calling out that we have people who worship here, and they're here every Sunday, and they're probably here every Sunday night, and they're probably here every Wednesday night, but yet they're lonely. And loneliness is one of those things that will tear you down physically and cause you to withdraw, you'll die prematurely, and all the other statistics that support that. If you're doing the Word study, the weekly devotionals at home with your family, this week's word is what? Fellowship, right? And he preached on it Sunday. I'm not going to re-preach the sermon, but part of what, if you're doing those, what you're finding is that God designed the church the way he did so that we had reason to come together as an assembly to connect, to encourage, to fellowship with each other, not just to eat, but to become closer and closer together as a family. And that connection and that fellowship breeds strength and faith. It breeds, I have a purpose in life. I have a purpose with my church family, which encourages me to want to expand who I am outside the church to make other people recognize they should be part of this. So back to the purpose that we talked about earlier, the hope that we have in our faith should strengthen the purpose for why we're here. And oftentimes, if we don't recognize that we draw strength from each other, then we find reasons to justify why we're not here. And the more times you justify why I don't want to come meet with the assembly, or why I don't want to participate in one event or another, or why I don't want to help with VBS or whatever, something that we're trying to do to bring us together, to ultimately evangelize outside these four walls, you will wake up one day and recognize that your hope is gone. And the hope in the gospel for us, three-legged stool, Christ is coming back. We're all going to be raised from the dead. And we all have access to heaven as long as we're faithful in what we do. So that's all I got. Yes, ma'am. It's interesting. As a lot, I can't repeat all that, but I can say what she's recognized in her life is that if God's not in the center of our life, we're going to have problems. But if He is in the center of our life, no matter what circumstance we find ourselves in, we'll be okay. Even if it kills us, if our faith is in Him and we've done what He's asked us to do, then the hope is there. Regardless of what happens to us on this earth, it doesn't matter. And we should look for opportunities to share that with others. And I've gone over 3 minutes, and I get mad when people do this. So I'm not going to let anybody else ask any more questions. I don't get mad, really. But thank you for your comments. I appreciate it, and I enjoyed the class. Thank you.